chevra that we continue to learn. Lil Nishmas, our chaver Tov, Binyamin Pinchas, Binyal Baruch, Shamash Avaliyah. During these days, we're still in the midst of the Shloshim, and our chabura Zichron Binyamin. We're preparing now for a very Heilige Shabbos. Mamash, a very Heilige Shabbos. People don't understand and don't understand the Kedusha of the Dalet Parashios. But if you thought about it for one moment, it must be, if we're going to have time in the year, when we're going to take and have special Parashios that are read, that we know are read at other times in the year. We're going to read Parashios Kisisa, Parashios Shkolim, this Shabbos Kodesh. And we read Parashios Kisisa, not, we're up to Mishpatim. We're going to read it in a few weeks. It's not like it's something that we haven't... Mamish, we're Mishpatim, Truma, Tzav, Kisisa. But there's a need to read it right now. Which tells us this is something very chashuv about this Shabbos, very chashuv about this leaning. I always felt, by the way, just... B'dvarim shal akdama, I always felt the reason, you know, it's very strange, you think about it. Very strange, like... Machzus Hashekel, Shkolim, this is something that's so chashuv that we have to have a special Shabbos. If you thought about, if we didn't weren't used to it, if you thought about, if you're going to lane special during the year, special parashios, another time, out of all the parashios, parashios Shkolim, even in the Avodah Beis HaMikdash, all the Avodah Beis HaMikdash, the one that we have to focus on is the Shkolim. Okay, Shkoyach, we know that this is when the Shkolim were given, so it's this time of the year, but L'mais, so, therefore, I just thought maybe you could, just to suggest, Lani's deity, every single one of us needs to be yearning way more for Beis HaMikdash. We need to be metzapel Yeshua, especially in our door where things are so comfortable, begashmi, and even things are so comfortable, beruchni. MSs are so comfortable, beruchni as well. We live in a generation, at least in our makom here in America, where Baruch Hashem, we live it up, mamish, in ways that no dar has ever lived it up. As far as the luxuries of life, the gashmias of life, even those of us who complain a little bit and think we want more, we have it, mamish, we live like kings, on a physical level. And then, beruchni as well, Baruch Hashem, which is tremendous. We live in a makom where we could practice Yiddishkeit, we could walk around with yarmulkes on our heads, and we could walk around the streets with our streimlich, yeah. And we could, mamish, we could sit and learn on trains, and we could Davin, and it's a beautiful thing. It is. Taka, it's very important to understand and to be thankful to the Eibishter. But that being said, because of all that, sometimes it's hard to recognize that we're still in Galus. We have to be metzapelish. We spoke about this a few weeks ago when we came back to Eretz, if you remember. So if you think about it, well, Beis HaMikdash, one of the reasons it's hard to chesben Beis HaMikdash, because first of all, we never were there. We never saw it. We don't even know what we're missing. But also, some of us maybe stop and think about it. What does Beis HaMikdash really mean to me? Who's going to be in the Beis HaMikdash? Kohanim, Leviim, Ami Yisrael, most of Klal Yisrael is Yisrael. What connection am I going to have to Beis HaMikdash? A few times a year, I'm going to go all the regular. But the Maisa, it's not for me. It's for the Kohanim, for the Leviim. But once a year, every member of Klal Yisrael had a chilek in the Beis HaMikdash by giving the Machzus Shekel, which were the shkolim that we used to purchase the karbonos of the tzibur, the karbon tamid, and all the karbonos. And this is my chilek in Beis HaMikdash. And maybe Susan, your Rebbe said, I want you to reread that special, to build a sense of b'metzapel Yeshua. Maybe specifically, we know, okay, it's brought down, the reason why Adar was because to prepare for the Karbonos of Nisan and Pesach. But maybe, as well, we know Adar obviously is Purim. We're very excited. We're mamish excited. But on Purim, let's remember, the Geula of Purim, as we all know, Chazal teaches, Gemara teaches us why one of the reasons we don't say Hallel on Purim is Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan. It wasn't a complete Geula. We didn't yet have Beis HaMikdash. So specifically, this is the month where there's a Geula, but it's only a quasi-Geula. There's more Geula that we need. And we want to remember that in the door that we live. We're in some level Geula. We're not living a Holocaust. We're not living, and we have Eretz Yisrael on some level, and we have things that we never had before. But it's only Akati Avdei, I don't know, Avdei Trump, Hanan, whatever you want to say it, L'maisa. So L'maisa, this is a chizik to be metzapel Yeshua. But there has to be a lot of depth, and there has to be a lot to be learned from Machzus HaShekel. So So if you open up Masechet Shkalim, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, there's an interesting lashon right at the beginning. Be'echad ba'adar mashmi'in al hashkalim. And the first ba'adar mashmi'in al hashkalim, it would be made here, heard by people about the shkalim. And what is, if you look, right away, if you look in the, I have over here the Kahati, and we all know that, what's that mean? Machrizen b'chol Ar Yisrael, Shavias Shkolim. They were machriz, they would announce that it's time during Adar to bring the machriz, bring the Shkolim, bring the machriz HaShekel. So, obvious question if they ask, what do you mean be'echad ba'adar, mashmi'in al Shkolim? Be'echad ba'adar, what was done? Machrizen. On the first of Adar, there was an announcement that went up. Okay, Vada, by default, then people heard. But what do you mean? People heard. People weren't heard. Because what was the action that was done? The action that was done, there was an announcement, which then was heard. But why is the Lashon Mishmash mean? If you remember, I think maybe it was last year, a few years ago, we spoke on last week's parasha by Yisro. We said, Vayishma Yisro. Yisro heard. Yisro heard. And Yisro heard, and he came. And he came to be part of Klal Yisrael. And this is Gantz. The entire world heard about Melchamas Amalek, Kriyas Yamsev, about the Eser Makos. The whole world knew about this. But only Vayishma Yisro. Only Yisro really heard. Meaning to hear is not just to physically hear, but to hear is to internalize into our hearts and pay attention, pay heed to the message and really, really change based on those words. How often it is that you could have a room full of individuals listening to a shir, and everybody in that room maybe physically heard, and maybe 90% walked out, and it's kilu they were never at the shir. Nothing, not one drop of changed. Because they might have heard with their ears, but they didn't hear with their hearts. Be'echad ba'adar mashvi'in. Be'echad ba'adar, we have to listen. It's not about the b'machriz. When the echad ba'adar, meaning what? There's something deep, there's something we have to hear, there's something we have to internalize. When it comes to Machshavas HaShekel, there's a deeper understanding. And what is it? What is it that I want to talk about tonight? It's very pashut. We open up the parasha of Parashat Kisisa, and we see the lashon of the whole entire Avoida was Kisisa's Rosh. The Avoida of the whole entire Machshavas HaShekel was just lift up our heads. Lift up our heads. You could say even and suggest that's what was done when Moshe went around and had a counting of Bnei Yisrael. When you're counting, you're saying, you're chashav, lift up your head. You're part of Klal Yisrael. Be proud to be a Yid. Be proud to be an Eved Hashem. Be proud to be a Ben Torah. Kisisa es Rosh, lift up your head. Thus is the lesson of Machzor HaShekel. Be proud. It's not about the shekel. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs the machzor. That's even part of the lesson. It's not even a full shekel. It's just a machzor. It's a machzor, and there's a lot of Torah on this, what the other machzor is. And you could say, Lemaisa, Tzaniyim, don't have to worry about it. It should have been one shekel. Part of that is to just show it's not about the. It's not about on any level. It's not about on any level the shekel. It's Kisisa as Rosh. Lift up our heads. Be proud to be a Yid. You know, there's a Gemara Chagiga we've spoken about before. I'm sure you've seen that this is one of those Gemaras that's often darshaned in the Svarim. Gemara Chagiga Tazayin Ma'al. The Gemara there says, Shisha Dvarim Nemru B'bnei Adam Shlosha Kamalach Ashar Shlosha Gebehema. There's six things that are said about people. It's interesting. We could probably think about more than six. For another time, you have to darshan this whole Gemara and really think about these are the six things that we can say about people. And three of them were like behemos, and three of them like malachim. Yesh lam das, k'malachim asharis. We have das. We have the ability to think. It's very important that then before we use that, and we actually do think, and not act impulsively, like animals. Lo aleinu, we live in a world, even though people, this is talking about, shidor nemru b'bnei adam. All people. It's not just talking about us, not just Yidden. All people have das. But how many people actually use that das? Just like how many people, when they listen with their hearts and not only with their ears, how many people use their das? How many people are, it's all impulsive action. We live in a world of impulsive action. There are jail cells full of impulsive action. And we live in an entertainment industry. You see what's going on. Don't, chas v'shalom, we should ever open up a newspaper because it's all just yisurim, shabbi yisurim, shabbi yisurim that goes on in the world with people who don't think and just do. And run after taiva, like an animal, like a behemoth. See, that's like a behemoth. A behemoth, it's all taiva. I'm impulsive towards taiva. If I have das, I think. I think about what I'm doing. So that's first of all, we have das. Umalachim bekoima dekuva kemalachim asharis. We stand up straight like a malach. Behemoths are on four legs, and their faces are always towards the ground because they're full of bahamios. They're full of the gashmias. That's their whole essence. That they're looking at. That's all they're about. We stand up straight. Our head is sulam mutzav arsav erosha b'shamayim. Our head is up. K'malachi asharis. It goes on. I don't have to focus on the rest right now. Masaprim b'lashon hakodesh, and we can speak lashon hakodesh. K'malachi asharis. And then shloshek behema oichlim mishosim. We eat and we drink. K'behema parim v'ravin. We have children like behemas. And umotzian reyak behema, and we have waste that comes out of our body like a behema. I'm not going to get into focus on the whole Gemara right now, but lamaisa, one of the steps in the Gemara is that while we're like a malach, and you know how we're like an angel that we stand up straight. What does that mean? Kisi says rosh, lift up your head and be like a malach, and don't be like a behema. Be proud to be a yid, and then work with your das Torah, to serve the Rabbonu Shalom in the proper way. You know what really this is telling us? It's really telling us what all of Shulchan Aruch, I think, opens. All of Shulchan Aruch opens, the first Ramah, we've quoted it before, and we have to review it. First Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. The first Ramah, V'lo yisbayesh m'pnei b'nei adam ha-mal'igin olav b'way d'shem b'sparach. V'lo yisbayesh, don't be embarrassed, don't be shamed in front of other people when it comes to b'way d'shem. How many Yidden are living their lives because of other people they're surrounded by? We have to live emes. And that's what it means, kisisas rosh. Kisisas rosh, be proud to be a yid, be emestic to be a yid. Don't be embarrassed. It used to be the dor, and there still are dorists that are embarrassed to be a yid. And therefore they go into the office, and they go into their office, and it's not because they have good reasoning, and maybe that, whatever that reasoning could be, but in our dor, it's hard to find, maybe in some places, I'm not tying on every individual, and from earlier generations, but not to wear a yarmulke in the office, bizman hazeh. We have to wear a yarmulke in the office b'zman hazeh. V'lo yishbayish m'bnei ko'adam ha'maligin obo. Don't be embarrassed. Be proud to be a yid. Be proud to be a yid. I'm a yid. This is who I am. That's what it means, kisisas rosh. Lift up our head. You know, I'll tell the chevre in the room knows that when we were in our Tisrael Shabbos Kodesh, feels like yesterday, and then at the same time feels like a year ago. It's like a weird... 5 weeks ago, we're in Eretz Yisrael for Shabbos Kodesh. I had the schus to start wearing a strimal for Shabbos Kodesh. But I'm going to admit, Eschatai Ani Maschar Yom. I'm going to admit that it was a very hard thing to start. I chedjbin it for a long time. I thought about it for a long time. Was it really MS? Was it really something that I... Because when it comes to chitoinius, you have to chedjbin a lot. When it comes to chitoinius, if you're going to start have a beard, you start having payas, you're going to start changing your yarmulke, start changing your shirt. These things are all meaningless and meaningful at the same time. What do I mean by them? Because lemaisa, you could be the biggest yid, the biggest ben Torah, biggest bal yerushalayim, wear colored shirts and wear polo shirts. Lemaisa, not wear a hat and not have long payas, halachic payas we all need obviously, and not have a beard and not wear a hat, whatever it is. You could wear a hat and a strimal and a bekasha and long payas and beard and be the biggest Rosh Hagamor. So it tells you, like Rabbi David Friedman, who I have the schus to be with every single day, and the chevra knows, he always says, anything you can buy or grow isn't Yiddishkeit. I'm even Yavin, you understand. Now it doesn't mean, so on one hand, it's meaningless. On the other hand, these are areas that, on an individualized level, for each of us individually, if it's important, and there's growth that can be done, and it's important for various reasons, to put yourself in a certain category that will help you grow, or to whatever, it has to be a mamish, an emes degree, but you have to really chajbin it to think, am I doing it just to show a full sense of who I am? Or am I doing it emes? And there's a lot of chajbonos you have to do. Is there a good reason? Is it worth it? Based on maybe if you're going to be in a family or people aren't liking it, is it worth it? Is there value? Is it? So anything chitoinis dik has to take a lot of chajbin, a lot of thought out. So I thought of it a lot and I felt that it was emes, and I felt Lani's daiti, I hope it was emes. Emes was my safta, very much wanted me to, and she's been talking to me for a long time, even Al Tkiva Ravim for her, who's mamish I owe my whole life to, and mamish love her with everything and would do anything for her, and if it's important to her, it's worth it just for that reason, to be honest. That's MS. Chaim Dov understands what I'm saying, and for that, she was someone who was important to her, and she connects to the Alta Chaim and connects to the earlier generations in a beautiful way. Halavai, we should all. But I'll tell you like this. So once I cheshbed it and thought it was MS, so the first time I wore it was in Eretz Yisrael, and it was very special, and it was very, very easy to do. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, anything goes. Anything goes. Right? It's easy for a guy. Anything goes. Anything goes. So in Eretz Yisrael, it was very easy to do. Yeah, it was a little for it, but that worked out well. Whatever, it was what it was. But so to put on, and I put on the first time at the Kaisel, it was a schuss, Lel Shabbos. I didn't even put it on. I took it down to the Kaisel to put on and made a Shachiyano at the Kaisel by Kabbalah Shabbos, which was very, very special to have that. His Chadshus at the Kaisel, Lel Shabbos, and wore it Shabbos, and it was very, very special. Now, my first week back here, so Baruch Hashem, that first Shabbos, Shendi wasn't here for Shabbos. So that one also was a little bit easier. But MS, it was a little bit hard. Even though I felt it was MS, I knew I'm going to go to shul, and you're going to have to get all the comments, and people are going to have to say things, oh, I knew this, and then maybe everyone has to say their wise comment, and make their whatever. And it was hard. It was hard. Sometimes it's very hard to stand up for what you feel is MS in the face of others that don't understand and don't believe and whatever it might be. The cheshbonus I had for another time, that doesn't matter publicly right now, but ultimately it's Kedusha Shabbos. And the more Kedusha Shabbos we can have, there's something very important about that. I've spoken about that much at this table. And anytime you can add on to make Kedusha Shabbos, so all Kedusha Brach comes from Shabbos. The more you can do for making Kedusha Shabbos is going to have a big effect on your whole life. But it was hard. Because it's hard not to stand up, and we feel a sense of shame in front of others. But the first halacha in Raman, all of Shulchan Aruch, Aleph, the lo yisbayish b'nei me'adam, ha'malikin ol b'vazim, don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed in front of other people that are mocking you. And if for you it's important to have langa peis because you need a reishim on your face that you feel and it will help you grow in Yiddishkeit, again, I'm not suggesting, I'm not telling you anyone has a chiv to do that, and you could be the biggest yid in the world without it, but if for you you feel it's important and it's going to be a cheshbon, then you got to run with it and not care what anyone else is saying. And the same with whatever else it is in Avodah. And Vade, if for you, you're somewhere in the middle of New York City, and like I told the story the other week, Mamish, and you realize you didn't daven yet, and Lamai said you have to daven, and you don't know where it is, you stop and you daven, and whoever's watching you, it's all good, because it's MS for the Rabbeinu Shalom. Whatever you have to do, Kisisas Roish. I've shared this story here before, but I was thinking about it, tonight again for a few different reasons, but you know, my brother, who's a very big tzaddik and a special person in Ben Torah, he went through different changes in high school and whatever it was. For his senior year, he ended up senior year in Lawrence High School. My brother still is an excellent basketball player, and he started on the basketball team. And I'll never forget such nachas. That year, wherever he was at, Yiddishkeit, what it was, but he was so connected and so proud to be a Yid in such a special way. I'll tell you, I'll never forget. He's on this basketball team. And he had a game in Roosevelt High. Roosevelt High. Yechever knows where Roosevelt is? Yeah, you know it because it's a stop on LIR, right? Roosevelt. Now, Roosevelt is like, Mamish, it's, you know, Roosevelt's like the Harlem of Long Island. I remember I go into this gym. And Mamish, I'm not a racist in any way. I'm chilled, I'm cool, I'm happy with everybody, I love everybody, but I'll tell you, it was a little bit, you know, you walk into the gym, and you have to go into the school, you have to go through metal detectors. Mom's thinking you're going on an airplane, you know, you take out through the metal detectors, and anyway, I walk in with my father, and the two of us, and Maven Yavin, we're the only two that look like that in the gym. I look up to the side, it's like a wall of the individuals of this place, and you see like these 9th and 10th grade little girls holding their children. It was MS, that's what it was. I'm just telling you as it was. We find seats somewhere like where there was, you know, and we feel, you could understand what it is. You know when Chazal tell us by Choshech, it was a thick darkness that they could feel? You felt, no, I didn't mean that. I wasn't going there. No. You see, you took it wrong. That's not where I was going. Emes! Oh, Hashem Yirachem. No, I was in, you could feel every eye on us. You felt it. That's all I was going to say. Oh, Hashem Yirachem. Chevra, I don't know what you're talking. You could feel... That's not what I meant. You could feel every single eye, like, looking at you, just because we're very different. But then I'm sitting there with my father, and I remember, I didn't see no one, they were all in the locker room, whatever, and comes out of the locker room, and in this makom, I think, if I'm not mistaken, what's his name, went to this high school? Dr. J. Dr. J, I had a picture of him there. Dr. J went there. What's Dr. J a doctor? He was really a doctor in some way? He had a PhD? It was made up. Okay, fine. Anyways, Lemaisa. I don't know where to get the doctor. So, I remember we're sitting there and my brother comes out with the Lawrence High School team and he comes out wearing his yarmulke. And he wears his yarmulke the entire game on the court in Roosevelt High. And it was such nachas and so special. And MS, I'm proud to be a Yid. Chever knows another story. I don't know if I ever told you what I just told you, but the next story, that's why I know. So Moshe Ezra was shaking his head. I think you were thinking of the next story, Bistama, right? No, he was a player with him. Isaiah was the other guy. That was funny because my brother was a great ball player, is Moshe, and then another great player on the team was an African American whose name was Isaiah. So the whole time in the stands by all the games, everyone's cheering for Moshe and Isaiah. You think your mom is okay, so you're in yeshiva, you know, it's very nice. Anyways, But then one time, that year, he went to Mincha Ma'ariv Beis Kodesh once, and a guy came over to him, and said, I want to thank you, because of you, I start wearing my yarmulke every day in the office. An older guy, says, I started wearing yarmulke every day. My brother said, he never saw the guy before in his life. He says, what do you mean? Because of me? This guy at the time had a sister in Lawrence High School, and one day he dropped off his sister, and he saw my brother, we didn't know him, he just saw my brother. And my brother was surrounded by his chevra in Lawrence High School, whatever his chevra was, right? Maven Yovin. My brother's tall, not like me. He's got all the height somehow. And he stuck out, and he's wearing a yarmulke, surrounded by all these Lawrence High School kids. And this guy sees that. He says, if that teenager in Lawrence High School could be proud and wear a yarmulke, how could I not wear a yarmulke in my office? He started wearing a yarmulke every day in his office. Now, I know that story's true. Now, my brother happened to tell it to me, so Avada, it's true. But I was once asked to give a tish in someone's house for Baal Batim, and I told over this story, and one of the Baal Batim came over to me and says, you know that story you told? It's true. I said, of course I know it's true. It's my brother. It's not... No. I'm the guy who started wearing the yarmulke in the office. So Lamaisa, we have to stand up. And Kisisa Esrosh, we have to lift up our head and be proud to be a Yid in every situation, wherever we are. And stand up for Emes. And the Emes is, we're gonna prepare for this in the Halakha Megillos. We're coming upon the Halakha Yontif. We're coming upon Rosh Chodesh Adar. So tonight we have to share a little bit from the Megillah. We have to share Kedushas Levi. If I'm not mistaken, it's the first Kedushas Levi in Purim, I think. I think it's the first Kedushas Levi. And then look it up again. This is a Kedushas Levi I've learned through before. So in Esther, Paragimel, Pasuk Beis, we all know the Psukim. The Torah tells us, V'chol avdei ha-melech asher b'shar ha-melech koyrim v'mishtachavim l'haman. Shkoyach. All the servants bow down to Avin. Ki kein tziva lo ha-melech, because so was commanded. U'mordechai lo yichrev lo yishtachave. Mordechai, it doesn't say he didn't bow. Lo yichrev yishtachave. He wasn't lashon asid in the future. He wasn't going to bow. So first of all, we have to understand what lo yichrev lo yishtachave. Why lashon asid? Why is it saying he didn't bow, but he wasn't going to bow? And then say madu ato oivers mitzvah amelech. And ultimately, you find out ki higid lehem asher hu yehudi. He told him because he's a Jew. Second question we have to understand is Haman didn't know he was Jewish. As if they didn't know Haman. Mordechai was part of the government of Achashverosh, as we know. He was one of the hierarchies. Mordechai was an advisor. Not only that, we all know the Medrash that Haman was his barber back in the day. What's going on? Additionally, the Kedushas Levi brings down, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, a Medrash. And the Medrash says that Esther tried to push Mordechai to not incite Haman too much and not make him so crazy. What was Esther telling Mordechai? He should bow down to Haman? Haman, we know, is also wearing this outfit. Zara, what's going on? You know the Kedushas Levi? I've definitely seen this. You know it. You remember it. The Hilig Kedushas Levi says as follows. He says, amazing read. Also, just such an amazing read. What's the pasuk say? The chol avdei hamelech asher b'shar hamelech korim shtachim l'haman. All the servants of the king had to bow down to Haman, and they bowed down to Haman. As we pointed out, Mordechai wasn't a servant of the king. He was an eved because he was part of the government. When you're government, he was one of the hierarchies. The law was that all the avadim had to bow down to Haman. But the law was that Mordechai was allowed to not bow to Haman. But you know what Mordechai said? Mordechai still said, by the way, Haman, I want you to know, don't think I'm not bowing down to you now because I'm part of the government. Lo yichrev yishtach, I'm never going to bow down to you. Meaning, even if there's a new law passed or something, that I will never bow down to you. You know why? Ken Yehudi. Meaning, don't think I'm not bowing down to you because I'm allowed to get out of it. I'm not bowing down to you. Ki ani Yehudi. Because I'm a Yid, and I'm never going to bow down to you. And Esther Amalka, what Esther Amalka was trying to say to Mordechai, Vada, don't bow. But why do you have to say this to him? Why do you have to make it so crazy? Why do you have to step up and say, I'm never going to bow to you, and it's because I'm a Yehudi? Let him think what he's thinking. Just be. And Mordechai says, no. Lo yusbayesh mirkol adam aliyin lo. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. I stand up. Kisi says Rosh. I lift up my head and I'm emes. I'm emes in all that I do. And I'm a yid, the same yid when I'm easily, it's easy to be proud and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I'm in the shul and David and I'm in this medrash and I'm learning. But I'm the same yid and I'm proud to be a yid in my office. And I'm proud to be a yid whatever my situation, when I'm on a train and when I'm on a subway and whatever it is, I don't care that I stand out. I don't care that I'm wearing my tzitzit out and people might look at me that the strange strings coming from my sides. Because to me that's emes. Kisisas Rosh, whatever I need to be doing. Belibusha. I'm going to stand up for Emes, and I'm not going to be worried. That's what Parshas Shkolim is coming into this halig month of Adar, because Mishnechus Adar Marim B'Simcha. You want to be B'Simcha? The only way to be B'Simcha is be Emes to who you are. When you live for other people, you're never B'Simcha. So MS is a yid. I want to be proud to be a yid. Go in the hallway over here. There's a book. Go get it for me. I didn't mean to. You'll see right on the thing. Yeah, there's a book over there. You finished the book just recently? I want to read you guys a poem. Yeah. Because we have to. That's what it means. Kisisas Rosh. Kisisas Rosh and be MS to who you are. MS to the Rabbonu Shalom. Don't live for others. Live to do for others. Don't live your life for others. Let me listen to this poem. This poem used to hang in right outside the Baltimore Colts locker room. Whoever knows what the Baltimore Colts are? Yeah? It's a famous poem, what?
The Jets beat them, that's all.
The Jets beat them, exactly. There you go. So listen to this poem. This poem, it's a famous poem, you might have heard it before. It's called The Guy in the Glass. When you get what you want and you struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, then go to the mirror and look at yourself and see what that guy has to say. For it isn't your mother, brother, or friends whose judgment you must pass. The person whose verdict counts most in your life is the one staring back in the glass. You could go down the pathway of years receiving pats on the back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartaches and tears if you cheated that guy in the glass. We have to live emes to who we are, and emes to who the Rabbonu Shalom wants us to be. And not be persuaded in everything that we do. I have to be that same Eved Hashem, and not be persuaded by anybody or by society. Kisisas Rosh, lift up our heads. This is an amazing Torah. I've shared it before, but I was thinking about it from Rav David Micharkov, Rav David Moshe Micharkov. He says as follows. He says that when it comes to Inyanei Kedusha, and Yane Ben Adam Makom, and Yane of Mamish Ruchni. So there's a very big connection to a Vav and a Hey, which is interesting. You think the opposite, but we're going to explain, right? Meaning what? The word mitzvah. Mitzvah has a vav hay in it. Kedusha. Kedusha has a vav hay in it. Torah. Torah has a vav hay in it. And whenever you think about what? Maisim b'chol yoyim of gashmi that we're involved in. All the words have a yud hay in it. Achila has a yud hay. Shtia, to eat, to drink. Shina, to sleep. Bia, to be involved in relations in the... All yud have a yud hay. Now, by the way, you should think pumfakert. First of all, you should think pumfakert. Why? What do we know? Yud ke vav ke. Yud ke vav ke shem Hashem. Yud ke is yismuchu Hashemayim. Is about the God of Heaven. Is with the more bein adam l'malkum tike avoida. Vav ke is v'sogel ha'aretz. Is what? Is more this world ruchni. So vav ke. But here's pumfakert, because what's Rabbeinu Shalom trying to teach you, that Yismuch HaShemayim, that tremendous relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom, has to be not just in the areas of Kedusha, but has to be in the areas of what? Of Gashmi. Has to be in the areas of Gashmi. I have to elevate my Achila, my Shtia, and I have to be proud to be a Yid in these areas in the same way. And the Vavei is in all theirs Kedusha. Tell me, grab all the Kedusha, the Beis Medrash, and bring it into my Gashmi. And that's what it is every time. Those of us who say L'shem Yichud, Kutshibrichu, Shchinti, Dechil, Rechimo. What do we say when before we do a mitzvah? L'yached Shem Yudhei Bevavei. I want to be miyached in all. It should all be one. My Inyoni Kedusha, my mitzvah, my Torah, my should all be one with my Achil, Shdiya, Shina, and Bia. It should all be one. In every area, I'm a Yid through and through, and I never fall prey to the society that pressures me to be someone I'm not. I'm standing up strong and I'm proud to be a Yid. And what's the byproduct of that, Chevra? When one's proud to be a Yid in all that we do. So listen to the files. When you open up Parshas Kisisa, you open up Parshas Shkolim. So this is a very strange Chazal. Chazal, famous Chazal. We all know the Chazal. But we have to darshan and talk about it. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to take the Yidden have to take the Machzor Shekel. It says, Zeh Yidnu, this is what you should give. So Rashi there brings it down. It's a Chazal in Medrash Tanchuma. Haralo kamin matbea shal esh. Kodesh Baruch Hu shows Moshe Rabbeinu a coin of fire. Umishkala Machzor Shekel, which was a Machzor Shekel. Haralo kazeh Yidnu. It says, this is what you should give. The Chazal actually goes further. That where'd he take it from? Who knows the Chazal? He took it, what? Where'd that? Oh, mitachas kisei hakavod. He like pulled out this fiery shekel from underneath his throne and shows it to Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have to understand. First and foremost, sometimes we find similar Chazal by the Menorah, for example, right? Find a very similar Chazal by the Menorah. You have to think of it. But no one understands. It was a very intricate, difficult thing to make, and you have to understand exactly how it's going to be and what's going to be. I want to give him a tmuna, a picture of it, whatever, it's here. Everyone brings a machzor shekel shkoyach. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand what it is. He needs this fiery picture of what it was. And secondly, if he's going to show him any picture, so show him a real shekel. Show him a picture. What's that have to be a fiery one? And what does it mean, mitachas kisei hakavod? That's what's underneath the kisei hakavod? A machzor shekel? So I saw in the Berach Hayim, Rav Melech Biederfin, he says as follows, Kodesh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, this mitzvah I'm going to give you now, it's not about giving, nobody really needs, I don't need the Machzor Shekel, it's not about the mitzvah itself. The fire represents the fire of Islavus, the fire of passion, and it's taken from underneath Kisei HaKavod, which is, what's underneath Kisei HaKavod? What do we know Chazal teaches? Is all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. It's them miktachas Kisei HaKavod. Meaning what? The Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, Rachmana Liba Boy. When it comes to Avodah Zarah Hashem, and it comes, it's not about that. I want you to be on fire. I want you to be with slavas. I want you to be with passion. I want it to be where you're willing to sacrifice for your mysterious nefesh, and you're so proud and excited that no matter what, I'm just going to do and not worry about what everyone's saying, what everyone's talking. And that's what I said when I told you the story myself with my strimal. Eretz Yisrael, it's not just, by the way, think of it, he's thinking, oh, what did I mean by that? In Eretz Yisrael, because everyone does things, so it's easier to do things in ways because everyone's different and everything goes and people aren't as judgmental in that way. That's not what I meant. I want you to tell you what I really meant. Because in Eretz Yisrael, there's such clarity. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's such MS that Vade Vada, I'm not going to be persuaded by anybody else, but I'm going to stand up for Emes. Vada, I know Kisisas Rosh in all that I do. There's no sheker into my life. There's no sheker into my cheshbonos. It's all Emes. I had a Talmud who just was in Eretz Yisrael for a few, a 12th grader. This is a 12th grader. I'm not going to give details, but struggling big time when it comes to Yiddishkeit and other areas. And he was just in Eretz Yisrael. He comes back to Shir. I don't want to give too many details. If anyone figures out who it is and knows who it is, I don't want to give details. But you can imagine the details that I don't want to give, right? Okay? Sometimes, without saying, you know what the details are. He comes back to Shir this week. And I tell him, you tell us how Eretz Yisrael was. He just starts crying. Tears. He's a 12th grader measure. Tears streaming down his cheeks. I can't make tears. He just starts crying. He says, Rebbe, I can't talk about it. It was just too special. And he's just crying. And if you knew who this was, and you know him, and you know what he's doing with life, he's crying. Tears. So I say, I let him calm down a little, whatever it was. So I say to him, Tzadik, please, tell us one thing about our Yisrael. And he's thinking, one highlight, something. He just starts crying again. I says, well, you can't do nothing. We want to hear. What? Obviously, it's so special. We want to hear. So he says, this is all he could get out. I'm telling you, it's all he could get out. Well, there's two things he told us. First, he just says, Rebbe, it's just all MS. It's just all MS. That's all he kept on saying. It's just all MS. Like, can you explain? It's just all MS. And the only thing he did, I said, tell us something, someplace you went that was special. Share with us. We want to hear. We want to feel. So he went to the Kaisel. He says, I tried. He says, what do you mean? I'm telling you, he told me he tried to go to the Kaisel. He went. He started going down the ramp to get into the plaza, by the ramp. He said, I tried to go on the ramp. I just started bawling and crying. I couldn't get further. He couldn't get further. The boy in my shirt right now, he couldn't get further. He's just bawling. And he kept on saying, because it's MS. He couldn't even explain. It's MS. So when you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's all MS. So naturally, you have to do MS, and everything you do, it's clear, and you're one with Hashem, and Kisisas Rosh, my head is lifted up to Shemayim, and therefore, I'm learning in the way I'm supposed to be learning, and I'm davening in the way I'm supposed to be davening. There's no Shailas, it's such MS. And then you come here, and it's Sveikas. It's Choshech. It's Choshech. And the people that you're surrounded by are wonderful, beautiful people, but they have views of life that are full of Choshech. And then they get that into your head and they convince you, and then you have a busha, and then lo aleinu, we're afraid to pick up our heads. What happens when we don't pick up our heads? We're no longer like a malach or like a behema. Shem Yirachim. So we're getting machzor shekel, and our avodah is to be on fire again in our avodah Hashem, and the avodah is kisisas rosh, to lift up our heads and to be a Shabbos tiki yid. Shabbos, we can feel a little. That's why Kisisas Rosh. If you lift up the letters of Rosh, we all know. Resh, Aleph, and Shin. Resh, Aleph, Shin. And you lift it up. Resh, one higher. Shin. Aleph, one higher. Beis. Shin, one higher. Tough is Shabbos. We lift up our heads and we live Shabbos always. And there's no busha. You'd be embarrassed. On Shabbos Kodesh, there's a big game and you're going to feel a sense of embarrassment, so you're going to have to watch the game. Vadanat. You never would. Never would. Same has to be all week long. I have to lift up my head and be amazed to get in all that I do and be proud in whatever it means to stand up for Yiddishkeit in all that we do. Let's just end with one story that I managed just chanced upon this week. I just read it once, so I'm just going to read it to you. I'm not going to tell it over. It made a big roshim on me. One of the legendary soldiers in the Lubavitch Rebbe's army of teachers and activists who kept Judaism alive in communist Russia in the darkest years of repression was Rav Asher Sasankin. He spent many years in Soviet labor camps for his counter-revolutionary activities. In one of these camps, he made the acquaintance of a Jew by the name of Nachman Razman. In his youth, Nachman had abandoned the traditional Jewish life in which he was raised to join the Communist Party. He served in the Red Army where he rose to a high rank, but then he was arrested for engaging in some illegal business and sentenced to a long term of hard labor in Siberia. Razman was drawn to the chassid who awakened his memories of home and life he had forsaken. With Rav Asher's aid and encouragement, he began to return to Jewish observance under conditions where keeping kosher, avoiding work on Shabbos, or grabbing a few minutes for prayer meant subjecting oneself to near starvation, repeated penalties, and a daily jeopardy of life and limb. One winter, as Hanukkah approached, Rav Asher revealed his plan to his friend. "I'll get a hold of a small empty food can, the smaller the better, so it'll be easy to hide and escape notice. We'll save half of our daily ration of margarine over the next 2 weeks for oil. We can make wicks from the loose threads at the edge of our coats. When everyone's asleep, we'll light our menorah under my bunk." "Certainly not," cried Nachman. "It's Hanukkah, Rav Asher, the festival of miracles. We'll do the mitzvah the way it should be done. Not in some rusty can fished out from the garbage, but with the proper menorah, real oil, at the proper time and place. I have a few rubles hidden away that I can pay Igor with at the metalworking shed. I also have a few debts I can call in at the kitchen." A few days before Hanukkah, Nachman triumphantly showed Rav Asher the menorah he had procured. Somewhat crude vessel, but mistakenly, a real menorah, with 8 oil cups in a row and a raised cup for the shamash. On the first evening of Hanukkah, he set the menorah on a stool in the doorway between the main room of their barracks and the small storage area, as it's rare, and filled the right-hand cup. Together, the two Jews recited the blessing and kindled the first light, as millions of their fellows did that night in their homes around the world. On that first night, the lighting went off without a hitch, as it did on the second, third, fourth nights of the festival. As a rule, the prisoners in the camp did not inform on each other, and their barrack mates had already grown accustomed to the religious practice of the two Jews. On the fifth night of Hanukkah, just as Rav Asher and Nachman had lit 5 flames in their menorah, a sudden hush spread through the barracks. The prisoners all frozen in their places and turned their eyes to the doorway, in which stood an officer from the camp's high command. Though surprise inspections such as these were quite routine occurrences, they always struck terror in the hearts of the prisoners. The officer would advance through the barracks, meting out severe penalties for offenses such as a hidden cigarette or a hoarded crust of bread. "Quick, throw it out into the snow," whispered the prisoners. But the officer was already striding towards the back doorway where the two Jews stood huddled over the still-burning flames of their candelabra. For a very long minute, the officer gazed at the menorah. Then he turned to the usher. "Piat, which means 5? He asked. "Piat," replied the chassid. The officer turned and exited without a word. Yidden that hearts are on fire with Yiddishkeit can't bear not to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom in a proud manner in the most beautiful of ways. I'm not telling you, I'm not posketing whether this is right or wrong under the circumstances at hand. But to read about Yidden who were Moser Nefesh for the Rabbeinu Shalom, proud to be a Yid, not wanting to hide behind anything when they had every excuse and reason to. Now let's think about us in the world we live in. In our learning, in our davening, in the way that we look, whatever best that way is for each and every one of us individually. Let's each and every one of us stand up, kisisa sarosh, lift up our heads, and be one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all that we do. Hail Yishab's Kodesh.